And I'd just like to pass on our thanks again from the church family in Carrickmacross Cross. We just feel so blessed by your partnership and your generosity and your kindness to us that, like I say, the name Hollywood is dear to the folk in Carrick's heart. So can I just pray to God and praise him for the partnership that we have? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the people here. I thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, I thank you for what a blessing they have been to the folk in Carrick, to the community in Carrick. And Father, I pray that as we come to your word this morning, Father, speak to us. You know how each of us have come in the door this morning. You know our joys and you know our sorrows. You know what we're celebrating, and you know the burdens that we carry. Father, this morning speak to us and draw us closer to Jesus Christ, we pray. In his name, amen. Amen. We'll be in John's Gospel, and if you have a Bible, I'd love it if you'd turn to John 14. We're going to be talking just about a couple of verses today. As I'm looking at this passage, it takes me back to a memory of when I sat in a room a fair bit smaller than this. It was probably to where the pillar is, and I was sat over in the corner, probably close to where Aaron sat. Now, I'm not particularly given to emotional public displays of emotion, but I still, as I remember this passage, I remember that room, and I sat where Aaron was. You know when you're trying hard to sort of keep back the tears, but they're just, you know, they're fighting against you. And I can remember sitting where Aaron is and just doing my best to sort of keep composed, but it was a losing battle. And let me give you a bit of a backstory to that. Do you know the story that goes of the four blind men in the forest, and they come across an elephant? And they're blind, and they're trying to figure out what the elephant is. And one blind man, he gets to the leg, and he thinks this is some sort of tree. Another fella, he gets to the tail, and he's like, no, this is some sort of like leathery rope. And there's a fella, he gets to the tusk, and he's feeling it, and he thinks this is some sort of, well, it's like a spear, but it's curved. And I don't know what use a curved spear would be. Maybe to spear someone around a corner, but it's some sort of weapon, it's some sort of spear. And another fella, he gets to the trunk, and it's like this is some sort of wriggly snake. And they disagree, and they have a big old fight over it. No, it's a tree. No, it's a snake. No, it's a rope. No, it's a spear. And the moral of the story goes that they're all trying to grasp at the same truth, and they're getting an edge of the truth. And one of the first places this came up was in the Hindu scriptures, the Vedas, and what they used it to describe was the attempt of different religions to try and figure out what is this concept of God. And so what they would say is, listen here, stop squabbling about it. You know, one religion's trying to figure out the leg, and one's trying to figure out the rope, and one's trying to figure out the tusk and all the rest. And they say, just chill out. You know, you're all trying to grasp at different things. You know, I said when I left Ireland, that's when I came to Christ. I went to Nottingham University, and just as I'd gone, I'd met Christians who were telling me about this Jesus guy and all he'd done, and I was just amazed. I mean, I was a baby Christian. I'd hardly opened this book, but I'd gotten the gist of just how amazing Jesus was. But one of the things they did, because the Christian Union in Nottingham was massive, like on a Friday night, there'd be anything between 300 and 500 students that would gather to sing God's praises and hear from God's word. But what they used to do in all the different halls across campus, and there was about 15 different halls, what they used to do is they'd have a little Christian Union in each hall, and there'd be a student bar in every hall. And what the Christian Union would do is hire out the stage for a night. So if we were in a bar like this, and this was the stage, and what they'd do is they'd get three or four Christians to sit on the stage and do Grilla Christian. Have you come across Grilla Christian panels where basically there's a panel of Christians here, and they say to everyone, you know, tear into us, ask us your questions. Whatever, there's no question that's off the table. Ask whatever you want. And I don't know how I ended up on these panels, but I was on this panel as a baby Christian. But what struck me was how similar lots of the questions would be, no matter what girl or Christian you did, the same types of questions would come. And we'd been there for one night, and we were just getting hammered with question after question after question after question. And then towards the end of the night, there were these two girls. They were sat right within sort of spitting distance. They were right sort of there. And at the end of the night, one of them stuck up their hand. They were from Mauritius. They were from Hindu backgrounds. And one of the girls stood up and she said, "I've been a religious person my whole life. I've worshipped God my whole life. And tonight you have stood up there and said, your Jesus is the only way. I have never in my whole life heard anything so arrogant." She sat down. I don't know how you're supposed to answer that. It wasn't a question. It was a fairly frank and to the point statement. But that was her understanding of what had just happened that night. That is the most arrogant thing I have ever heard, and I have worshipped God my whole life. When the Hollywood team came down last summer, we finished off the Holiday Bible Club with a trip up Carlingford Mountain, Slieve Foy. It's an amazing mountain. I recommend it. It's not far. It's not too far to go. But we went up one path and we came down another path. Now, if you've ever been to Slieve Foy, it's right on the edge of it's right. If you're in Carlingford, you can see the mountain and it's all its glory. And I go there a fair bit with my girls. And there's lots of different ways you can go. So if you take a left-hand path, it's the sort of slow, meandering, slightly boring path, but it gets you to the top. That's the one that we went up first. But if you take the right-hand side of the path, it's less distance. It's slightly more adventurous. It doesn't go in a nice straight up. It kind of goes up in shifts, and so you've got to climb at parts, and there's a few drops that you've got to be careful of. Slightly more fun, slightly more adventurous. Or if you're stuck for time, you don't have to go the left. You don't have to go the right. You could just put a line straight up and go for it. Now, that's slightly ropey, but it's doable. But no matter what path you take, gets you to the top. And what our culture would say, what a lot of religions would say is, again, that's a lot like religions. I mean, take the left-hand side. Take that religion, and it's a wee bit boring, but it'll get you there. Or take that religion, it's a bit more exciting, and it'll get you there. Take this one, that's the nice direct route. Go for it, and that'll get you. But either way, you're going to end up at the same spot. And that's what my friend down here was saying. And if you believe that, when you talk about Jesus, it is the most arrogant thing you could imagine. Because what he says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, if you have it there, turn with me. He says in verse 6 of chapter 14, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I am the way, the truth, and the life." If he'd said, "I am a way, and a truth, and a life," this lady down here would have been happy. She would have said, "Fine, take your Jesus, and I'll take my way, and we'll all get to the same place." But he didn't say that. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Where Jesus is saying, you want to see God? And Jesus sticks up his hand. You want to get to God? Here's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to him except through me. Do you know we have a referendum coming up in May to vote on abortion. We had a referendum back in 2015 to vote on same-sex marriage. And for both of those, if you're a Christian and you stick your head above the parapet, you get shot. But you know what? I don't think those two, for as controversial as they are as controversial as this verse. In the society I live in, and I imagine the society that you live in, if Jesus had only just changed the to an ah, everybody would be happy. But he doesn't. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know one of the hard things about doing those guerrilla Christians at that university was you had to do them in the hall that you lived in. And so the people hammering you with questions were your friends. They were the people that you lived with. And these two girls, before that night, I'd never met them. But after that night, we actually became friends. They got to know some of my friends who were Christians. They got to know me. We'd eat lunch together in the canteen. We became good friends. You know, she told me that she was from Mauritius, so she was from Indian descent. I explained that I wanted to be a cowboy when I was young, so I was from cowboy descent, and so history was not on her side. You know, she was in trouble. The cowboys were going to meet the Indians. Totally politically incorrect, but it was good fun. We had a good friendship. And then one day, she disappeared for the weekend and came back, and she had this massive suitcase. It was bigger than that, it was nearly bigger than her, never mind the speaker, and she lived up a flight of stairs. And so she jumped out of the taxi, and I happened to be there, and I said, do you want me to give you a hand taking the suitcase up the stairs? She said, brilliant. And so I brought her into her room, and I popped it down, and I made a mistake. You see, I'm from a farm just outside Lisbon. I've never seen all these gold idols in my life. I made a mistake. I put the suitcase down, and I let my eyes linger for a second too long. I was like, look at all the gold, these little stacks. There was dozens and dozens of glistening gold, and I looked. Never seen anything like it in my life. I was new to Christianity, never mind this other stuff. But I went to walk out, but she didn't move. She was standing in my way, and she didn't move, and I was like, what's... And she looked at me, and she said, you don't think I'm a child of God. You think I'm going to hell, don't you? I mean, what do you say to that? I didn't know her religion. I'd never read the four Vedas written in Sanskrit. I didn't know the names of her different gods. I didn't know her theology of the supreme being Vishnu or Brahma or Shiva. I didn't know any. Karma to me was curry flavored sort of coconut dish and reincarnation. I didn't have a clue about it. And what do you say to someone who's asking? I hardly knew about Christianity, never mind what she believed. But you know, I've been blessed in that Christian union with a group of lads who we'd just get together, we'd read the Bible. And the book that we were reading at the time was the book of 1 John. And if you've got it, flick to it, because this was tonic for my soul as I was reading this as a student. The book of 1 John. And before she asked me that question, we'd looked at 1 John chapter 4. We looked at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Is that not an amazing verse? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you know there's a reason why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's a reason why Muhammad can't do it. There's a reason why the Christians can't do it. There's a reason why Buddha can't do it. There's a reason why no one other than Jesus Christ can do it. Because no one else has paid for our sin, have they? Muhammad didn't do it. Krishna didn't do it. Buddha didn't do it. They didn't die on a cross to pay for our sin. Do you know what the problem with the mountain image is? You know, the take this path, take this path, take this path. They all go to God. Even if you grant that you can try different ways, the problem with it is no human being apart from Jesus has ever been able to climb the blessed mountain. The weight of sin is just too much. You just can't get up it. The problem with the mountain image is it presumes that we can climb the mountain. Actually, what Jesus says is, try your best, but no one can. What we need is for God to come down the mountain and say, I will carry the burden for you. I'll carry you up this mountain. Do you know what's arrogant? Arrogance is to say, I'll choose my path. I'll carry it myself. Do you know what humility is? It's to say, God, I can't climb it. The burden of sin is too great. I need you to carry me. You've come down and you've offered to do that in the person of Jesus Christ. Will you carry me? That's not arrogance. That's humility. That's brokenness. That's saying, I can't do it. Do you know what the problem with the elephant is? You know, I think it's a tree. I think it's a rope. I think it's a snake. I think it's a spear. Do you know what the problem is? The old elephant spoke and he said, I'm an elephant. Jesus says, you want to know God? Here I am in the person of Jesus Christ. I've come to show you what God is like. Do you know what's arrogant? It's grabbing an elephant and saying it's a tree, even when the elephant says, I'm not a tree, I'm an elephant. Do you know what arrogance is? Arrogance is saying it's a snake or it's a tree or it's a spear or it's a rope, even when the elephant is screaming at us, I'm an elephant. Do you know what humility is? Humility is saying, I'm blind. I can't work this out. I need the elephant to tell me who he is. And God has shown us who he is in the person of Jesus Christ. Christianity isn't arrogant. Christianity says you've got to be broken. You've got to be humbled. You've got to say, I can't climb the mountain. I can't work out the elephant. He's got to come down. He's got to carry me. He's got to come down. He's got to show me. That's what Jesus says in John 14. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I can give you life. I can carry your burden for you. You want to know the Father? Look at me. I show you the Father. Do you know, I stood in that room with that girl and I didn't have a clue what her religion was about. I didn't have a clue. I was just getting up to speed about what my Jesus was like. And so the only thing I could say to her was, I don't know what you believe. I don't understand these golden statues. I don't know what you do with them. What I do know is 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, that I have a God that loves me so much, and yet I am broken because of my own sin. And he loves me so much that he has come down to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ to die on a cross, to be my sacrifice, to pay for my sin. And I know that one day I will stand before my Maker and I will not be scared because Jesus is with me and he has done for my sin. You've asked me, are you a child of God? You've asked me, are you going to hell? All I can say is what the Bible would say is the day you stand before your Maker who has dealt with your sin. Is it one of them? Because I know Jesus has offered to do that. She didn't say anything. She stepped out of the way. She let me go. And I, in my naivety, I thought, well, I didn't say anything offensive there. I just said what 1 John 4 says. And then the next day in the hall, I saw her and she was coming towards me and I did the cowboy thing. And she walked straight past. Did she really not see me? I mean, I was right there. And then I sat beside her in the canteen later on and she moved. And for a week, she just wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't engage with me at all. We'd been good friends. We'd shared lunch together in a group for a year. But after a week, she kind of softened a wee bit. Things were never properly the same. There was, you know, we were part of the same friendship group, but it was never properly the same. But she stayed friends with my other Christian friends. And you know, from time to time, I'd turn up at a Christian event, and hey-ho, she'd be there. Odd time. And then one day, in the hall, she said, "Con, I'd like to talk." I was a wee bit, hang on, this didn't work out well last time. But I went. And she said, "You know what, I've still gone to a few of those events you people put on." And she said, "A couple of weeks ago there was a fella talking from the book of Revelation about that passage," she said, "about Jesus knocking at a door." She said, "For a long time I've felt that he has been knocking. And the fella who was speaking, he said we should pray and ask him in. And a week ago, I prayed to him and I said, 'God, if you are really there, Jesus, if you are really there knocking at this door, would you come in?' And he did. And she said, 'I've given my life to Christ. He's my Savior. He's the one who's forgiven me. He's paid the price for my sin.' And she took every single one of those little statues. She threw them in a bin. Those were golden statues in a bin. Do you know what the Christian Union did? They said, 'You know what, would you sit on a Grilled Christian panel?' And in the same room where she had shouted at me for being arrogant, she stood here on a panel. And I sat there where Aaron's sitting. And I tried to keep it together as she got asked question after question. 'But why would you go to this Jesus?' And she would talk about her Jesus, the one who carried the weight of her sin on the cross, and no other God could do that. She talked about the God that loved her so much he left the glory of heaven to die on a wooden cross for her sin. No one else has done that." Friends, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's not arrogant. That's the most humble thing we could ever say. Because we need him. We need him to carry the burden of our sin that we couldn't carry ourselves. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Can I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we're here this morning to praise and thank you for all you are and all that you have done. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that in him we have seen you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that he has come down the mountain and carried us up. Father, we praise you that you have loved us and treasured us in our brokenness and in our sin. We thank you that you have poured your love out on us. And Father, this morning we want to praise the name of Jesus Christ. For his glory. Amen. Amen.